Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
My next guest on today's program is film scholar Enrique Ceballos, who is conducting an interesting course that includes a study on gender representation in mysticism and will begin on the 19th of October. He'll tell us more about that. Enrique is also the founder and general manager of the Mexico International Silent Film Festival, so we'll be talking about that as well. So, lots to discuss. Enrique, welcome to the show.
Hello, Matt. I'm very happy to be here and talking with you. Well, after 2 years, I think, that we've met in Pordenone Silent Film Festival. Well, it's great being here with you again.
In fact, the main topic of the conversation of the conversation that we will be recording today is actually going to be silent films. And because of that, I sort of wanted to open up our discussion, if you will, by asking you a very general question, and feel free to answer it in whatever way you like. But, you know, what is it about silent cinema that fascinates you?
Well, I think silent cinema let us break the verticality of time and space, you know, and when we accessed these experiences, these cinema experiences, we can question them and we can talk about them and you know, make them our own experiences, you know, bring them back into the present. And I just love that, you know, that we can break the time and break space, beautiful experiences.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by break the time?
You know, we can go back to previous wars, previous social conflict, and we can talk about it, and we can relate with those conflicts and with those battles and protests and maybe stereotypes, maybe, you know, human typing. And we can question them, you know? That's how we can break the time, yeah?
I understand exactly what you're saying. In fact, it is a concern that I think about a lot, come to think of it, when it comes to silent film. Is that sometimes I get the impression that people who think of people who are passionate about silent film and preservation of silent film are rather conservative, particularly, as we know, because early cinema features many things that may be seen as morally and politically problematic nowadays. Mm-hmm. The classic example, of course, being Birth of a Nation by D.W. Griffith. Mm-hmm. Yet you and I would say, you know, and other people like us have a rather modern mentality, a hatred for discrimination and so on. So, I mean, do you ever, I guess from what you said, you think about these things, you know, there is a problematic side to silent cinema, but it is one that can empower us ultimately.
Yes, I think that we cannot erase history by censoring these films, you know. Any film, actually. So we should bring them back, see them, question them, talk about them. And I think it can help us grow together and redirect our lives, our societies. I repeat, we cannot censor any of these films. We should celebrate them and question them at the same time.
Right. And, you know, in terms of Mexico, would you say that Mexico looks after its film heritage well, also in celebrating these films, as you said, but preserving them as well?
Well, the thing with Mexico is that we have like only 2% surviving rate of our films, of our silent films. So that's a bummer. But even with that, we can talk about things like stereotyping women, you know, because our country is very full of machism, and we can talk about masculinities, you know. And I think that our surviving silent films allow us to talk about social experiences, even if we only have 2% of them surviving.
Wow. 2% is really a small percentage.
Yes.
What was Mexico's cinematic output like in the early years of cinema? Was the production system a healthy production system? Were there a lot of films being made?
No, we had a lot of problems. Even if we talk about an industry of early Mexican cinema, we have to point that it was like a very problematic industry, because all of this European influence, North American influence, everybody wanted to try and repeat those models in Mexico. And I think we were in search of an identity. So yes, our industry was problematic in that sense. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Mexico eventually found its own cinematic identity, even when we think about perhaps contemporary cinema?
Yeah, I think that we can talk about a Mexican cinema identity right now, of course. But even in those early days, during the Mexican Revolution, we found a very powerful source for Mexican identity, even if we had a lot of European and North American influence in our cinema. We found a beautiful, powerful source of identity within the Mexican Revolution and the cinema that came from it, the documentary films that came from it.
Yes. You know, this is just a coincidence, but I was reading recently about Dolores del Rio, and I felt like I should just drop her name because she was such an important figure for Hollywood cinema as well as for Mexican filmmaking.
Yeah, she was like our great diva. She is like our great diva, you know, besides Maria Félix and Lupe Vélez and other incredible women that, they started a career in Hollywood, but then around the 40s they came to Mexico and started their own path, you know. And yes, Dolores del Rio, she's an icon, an absolute icon.
Speaking of great women in cinema, I'd like to maybe hear about your latest course. Would you like to maybe introduce it? I thought the topic was very interesting.
Yeah, speaking of women and gender perspective, I've been giving a course called The Other Film Histories, Mysticals, Witches, and Heretics. I think it's important that we can talk about gender stereotypes and representations, in such powerful manifestations around horror cinema and fantasy cinema. So We will be revising the filmographies of Luis Buñuel, Dreyer, Dario Argento, and other filmmakers that were working at the time with this kind of representations and figures, you know, these mystical supernatural figures that they are also important for thinking our social representations and social dynamics as well. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me more about the significance of mysticism in cinema, especially in the context of your course?
Yes, that's a great question, because talking about mysticals for this course in particular is to talk about these women that were recluded in convents. You know, we will talk about nuns that were experiencing hallucinations and dialogues with God and with the Virgin. Those figures are called mysticals in some studies, you know, mystical women. So we will be talking about them, you know, because there is a lot of representation of them in cinema, you know, and it is important for gender representation and gender stereotypes as well.
You mentioned Dario Argento, for example, so that takes us into grounds that are a little more contemporary, perhaps.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We will start, of course, with Georges Méliès and Alice Guy. You know, they were both pioneers. and they were both working with mystical and fantasy cinema. But we will, of course, revise a more deep filmography. You know, I think well until the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Do you find that gender representation remains a problem in contemporary cinema?
Yeah, I think even on this day, we have a lot of trouble surrounding representation, gender representation, you know, because of, this flexibility in our identities that are now taking the screen. It's been great these past few years, but also new dialogues, new conversations are emerging from these new opportunities. So we should talk about them. And talk about the problematics, you know, what are we lifting out and what are we including, you know, in these new representations? I think it is still problematic and important.
Yeah, it takes a long time to evolve, right? I mean, even in the sense of the evolution and of the ways in which gender is represented in cinema, as we look back on cinema, giant steps have been done, but it did take a long time and it's probably going to take a long time. I think the way in which we can realize that, of course, is through courses such as yours.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope that we can dialogue about these other film histories. It is important for me to question the canon, you know, to question the great masters and to bring them back to our era and to ask them what can they say to us, you know?
Mm. Hey, so how are you doing this course? Are you doing it digitally?
Yes, it will be an online course. So you can write to otrashistoriascine@gmail.com. You know, it is the email. Maybe I can send it to you so you can reply it on the post of this interview. So, inscriptions are open.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a Spanish language course. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Anybody interested in applying should know that. But are you, and this is a question related to definitely contemporary times, how are you finding, doing these projects digitally in the times of the coronavirus?
Well, it's been a big challenge, you know, because we no longer have our venues, you know, for working, for meeting, for, creating together. But I think there's hope, you know. I remain hopeful that we can go back to our spaces, to meeting face to face and to create new ways, you know, for conversation and for question or all of our cinemas. Yeah.
Speaking of which, we will return to this topic because I also wanted to talk about the Mexico International Film Festival, which you founded and are the general manager of. And just for our listeners who are not familiar with it, would you like to tell me a little bit and introduce it? I mean, when was it founded and also why was it founded?
Yeah, it was founded in 2016. And we felt the need, you know, to bring those films back, you know, to that 2%. We needed to bring it back to our eyes, our ears, our bodies, you know, and to experience these very first few days of cinema in our country. We did not have a festival, you know, that was taking care of this beautiful time in cinema. So we just felt the need, you know, to bring it back to our society, especially in our city, Puebla. We are not celebrating the festival in Mexico City. We celebrate it in Puebla, which is like a very important city too within Mexico. And, you know, it's a colonial city. And whenever our guests comes to when they come to Puebla, they really enjoy the experience, you know, the screenings, the cinema concerts, and also having a beautiful tours, you know, within the streets and you know, enjoying delicious food, you know, because in Puebla we have a very, very good food, and you know, it's quite an experience. Actually, last year we had Paolo Tosini, Eli Vrongen, and Maggie Henfeld. They came to Puebla, and we all enjoy our time together and enjoy the screenings. You know, we had, for example, silent comedians. You know, these so-called nasty women in silent cinema. These beautiful comedians that are being you know, recently studied by Maggie, by Elif, and it was such a wonderful time with them.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of names that are familiar to the silent film community of contemporary times.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so will it be taking place this year?
Yes, we will have our fifth edition between November 24th and 28th. Yes, it will be an online festival, but I'm sure you all will enjoy our proposal. You know, we have a prepared Latin American fiesta, you know, because it is important for us to bring back also the film heritage of Latin America, you know, Argentina, Chile, Colombia. So this year we will celebrate Latin America, you know, in its uniqueness.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it'll be taking place online. There's challenges that come with that, but it's remarkable that you guys are still going to hold an edition of the festival. Is there anything about the program that you can anticipate?
Yes. We will have a special event, the cinema concert of the Phantom Train, El Tren Fantasma. It is one of the feature films that survives from 1927. It is directed by Gabriel Garcia Moreno, and it is a thriller. Basically, it is a thriller, a beautiful and well-directed thriller that in which we see, you know, these dangerous scenes and suspenseful scenes. You know, the protagonists over the train and you know, running away from the bad guys and rescuing the heroine, and well, it's such a suspenseful trip that you should please experience it. You should accompany us. Yeah,
and it's great to end our conversation with this recommendation. Enrique, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much for joining us, and I wish you all the best with all of the different projects that you got going on. You're doing a lot.
It's been a pleasure, Matt. Thank you. And well, I've been doing a lot, but also, you know, accompanied by my beautiful team in Mexico Silent Film Festival, especially.
Thanks very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.